Hello, tabletop gamers. It's time for the Weekender, so it's time to give away another awesome prize. Last week, it was the Blackstone Fortress box set. This week, we're giving away Shadow Spear. Look at it there in all its glory. This bad boy is just hitting the shelves now. But if you get your comment in, you might win it. We gave away a copy a few weeks ago, so this is your second chance. What are you waiting for? Like the video, subscribe to the channel, ding our dong, and comment below telling us which faction is your favorite. Hey everyone, welcome to the Weekender. It's been another long week in gaming with lots of cool stuff happening.
Always.
As I get all excited about it, this is the start of another show.
Can you guess what's on the running order today, kids, that we're excited?
Is there something on there? Well, there is something on there that I'm excited about. Isn't that right, Ben?
Look at that. Yes, there is, yes.
Pre-show, I saw Lloyd walking around the office with a very suspicious looking crowbar.
He's so happy.
Mm. Get in there.
Yes, this week I'm joined by Jerry.
Hola.
I've got Justin.
Hello.
I've got Big Ben's face up on the screen. Hey,
hello.
Ben. And
hello,
of course, hello.
When we
Lloyd.
Say Big Ben, it's Bong.
Bong.
Yes.
Right. First up this week, though, we're going to give a shout out because it's Adepticon.
Yes.
So I'm going to give a shout out to Don and Gianna because the ladies are going to be recovering the show next week. It kicks off around the middle of next week.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be about 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, it's nice because it's their home show over in Chicago. So it's nice and close to them and they can get in and not be overly stressed.
Yeah, that's the one that is right and close. Like, yeah. It's literally a stone's throw away from them.
Yeah.
Well, you know an American stone's throw.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And well, you know what's really cool about Adepticon?
What?
Is, it's got lots of 40k stuff going on, but it's got a great Saga tournament too!
It's also got the Kings of War as well.
Has it?
Yeah, big Kings of War.
My hobbit horse sense is tingling.
Ooh. Good times.
Yeah, yeah.
See, I'm going to say, look, Don and John, if you're watching the show and you're at the Adepticon, if you see Wisco Tabletop, go and tap him up and give a wee chat. Yeah. See how he's getting on.
Go find Rog. Ask Rog what 2.0's been doing for him.
Yeah. Rog is a guy who runs a YouTube channel about Saga, and he does a Saga Thursday. And he gets people on to interview them about the battle boards and stuff. So you have like people from Europe, people from Russia, all over the place. And they Skype in and they go over the battle boards and stuff with them. It's cool. If it's like last year, I think you'll be going there to be taking part in the actual Adepticon
in fact,
tournament.
His Saga Thursday that came out on Thursday. Three days ago, actually has a bit about what he's going to be doing at Adepticon.
Mm. Oh, so he's definitely going to
be
there.
Yeah.
Rod,
yeah.
Say hi. If you see Don and Gianna, say hi. Tell us what you're getting up to. Your tournament's going.
Are you inciting Don and Gianna to rugby tackle this poor fella?
Yes, go and get him. Go and get Rod.
Oh, sorry, football tackle.
That's it. Right, so that's coming up. Also, Salutes is coming up hot in the heels of that. It's like the week after.
Yeah, it's the first weekend of April. So April the 6th, that first Saturday in April, we will be across in London covering Salute. And I do have some bad news, some heart-wrenching, terrible, awful news. We won't be having a backstage meetup this year.
Dun, dun, dun!
Yeah, unfortunately, this year we are basically chock-a-block with the stuff we're doing. So we're actually flying in the Wednesday before, spending some time with the guys at Foreground, and then we're going with Foreground to do Salute, and then when Salute's done, we're going back to Foreground to do a little bit more, and then we're flying home. So no Saturday night meet-up, and probably no Friday night meet-up either, because we're going to be giving the guys a hand on their stand to actually get all set up.
He says that, but in actual fact, what happened was, I'm going, and they went, we'll not get him out of the pub. And the only reason I was going was for the backstage meetup and the pub. And now I'm kind of annoyed.
So. But I'm not, because this means Jerry has more time to walk around Salute and see what Saga stuff he can
find. Oh, there'll be plenty of Saga stuff. Don't worry. All the Saga all the time.
So you're heading down. Ben, you're joining down in London?
Yeah, I'm heading down to London as well.
And we're bringing Ryan from the studio as well.
And taking Ryan as well. So taking Ray four Ray. Of us there.
Yeah, four-man crew. And this year, we're going to be doing it a little bit differently. So we're actually going to have a stand out in the hall for doing all of our editing at. And we may do a little filming on there as well. So there will be a place where you can come and find the Beast of War crew through the day.
Good luck getting any work done. I'm trying to edit here. I want to talk to you. I'm trying to edit here. I don't want to talk to you.
It's all right. I'll stick Sam in the hand luggage and just throw him at them.
Oh, that's it. We'll just hand Sam to them.
Here. I'll just do bouncer. I can't edit. I don't know how technology works.
You're going to be a dead giveaway. You guys aren't going to be able to walk around Salute and not be seen with him towering above you.
Here's the good thing, because all Jerry, because he towers over everyone, he can just go, no, move aside, children, move away, small people. Hello, we'd like to do an interview.
High spy saga.
that's much more likely.
Yeah, see, we've got him as a high altitude scout.
Yeah, cool.
Good times.
I'm looking forward to it. I've got to write out my list of things that I want.
Yeah.
Dude, we've only got two hold bags, so make sure whatever you want brought back is small. Not a full battle board.
Or we post it.
Yeah, well, I don't know if there's a postal service.
Big anorak, though, that you could be wearing and like.
I have a poacher's coat.
Do you have a poacher's coat?
Yeah.
That's cool.
In the name of hell, is a poacher's coat.
I've never heard
of a poacher's coat.
Poacher's coat is a long coat, like a three-quarter length coat or a trench coat,
right,
where you put your hands in the pockets.
Right.
But then there's like a seam cut in that you can push into the inside of your coat, so your coat can be buttoned up. And then there's two huge, like A4 size pockets on each side. So your poacher would have like a couple of pheasants and we just put them in and then
right
there.
Right. Jerry, if you're wearing that through the airport, I do have a question.
Yeah.
Has it been your lifelong ambition to receive a cavity search?
No, but why would they?
This would be interesting.
It's just got pockets on it.
Like they stick
it. They're not hidden pockets. If you open the coat, the pockets are on the inside. It just means if it's cold out and you've got your cigarettes inside there, it's then like you don't have to unbutton to get your cigarettes out.
If they stuck you in the bod pod, you'd be like, would see is just lots of little baggies of little men. little metal men.
Huge amounts of them weighing me down like saddlebags on a horse.
Oh, I hate the bod pod. Have you ever been put in the bod pod?
Yeah, they do it. Every time you go through it, standard procedure now, you go through the body pod.
Oh, wait, everyone has to?
Everybody has to, right. Yeah. No, every single person.
Not at Belfast. They're much more lax.
No.
Belfast, I've only been through the bod pod once and I jumped in and went like this straight away. And everybody laughed, even the people you using it. I was like, I feel really uncomfortable. I think it's because I just preempted them and just went like this.
Nothing to see here.
I didn't wait for any instructions. But man, does it make you feel bad when you jump in the bod pod where it can see everything and everybody laughs?
You've never had that, to be honest with you. Although one of the worst stories I ever heard for going through airport security was, you remember whenever the War Machine Colossals were coming out?
Yes.
The Cadoran one came out first. That thing was sent through an airport with a fella to be brought to a show. And as they send it through the scanner, it comes out the other side and it gets pulled aside to be checked. And they turn to him and go, "Is that hollow? Parts of it? Why? No reason. Break it. Open it up." And this is a studio painted colossal. And I'm just like, no, tears.
They shouldn't have tried to carry his hand luggage then. Only themselves to blame.
Ben, have you had anything weird happen to you in the airport?
No, thankfully. No one's stuck fingers anywhere or anything like that. So
good times.
Lucky you, mate. Lucky you.
Yeah.
Right, moving on.
Yeah.
This week's been exciting on the channel because we've had the 40K Shadow Spear unboxing.
Yes, myself and John sat down to unbox Shadow Spear this week. It arrived late because of Storm Garth, but once we got it in the studio, as soon as it was through the door, this was open because I bought a copy of this straight off the bat, and I was just like, I don't care what else we're doing. John, you and me are unboxing this right now. Nope, put down the paintbrush. Put down the tank. You're coming with me.
Mm. And we are giving it away, in case you didn't notice my excitedness.
Wait, we're giving one away.
Can I have it? It's here.
Can I have it?
You've already got one. You just told us.
It's here.
Yeah, but then I'd have two.
I'm interested in knowing.
You see how this works? Then I'd have two.
In the comments, I'm interested in knowing which faction people want the most.
Mm.
Like, which faction of the two are you after?
Well, the one that I've already got is the Phobos Vanguard Marines.
So you're just adding more.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, like, the rules that they've added to them are absolutely superb.
All right, you, Jerry. Do you like the spiky ones? Chaos-y.
Do I like the spiky ones? No. I don't like the spiky ones.
Well, I don't know. It depends. Are they Zulus? Oh, wait, no. They're Chaos Marines.
They don't have to. They're all Chaos Marines, which you'll find out when you see the Primaris Reaver unboxing.
Really?
All Chaos Marines.
Oh, dude.
So,
need purity seals. Need them now.
Not going to help.
Yeah.
Can't polish a turd. You can't purity seal over a Chaos Warrior.
I am excited for this box because it has really turned things on their head for both the factions that are in the box. And it's another great way for people to actually jump into the game because you've got all your starter rules and stuff in there to get you up and running.
I haven't got past turds with purity seals on them yet. That's such an epic image in my mind.
Okay. You with Photoshop, you just opened it up. Put it down. Put that Photoshop down. No.
Put it down.
Is that the editors you're talking to? Because that won't help.
Yeah.
Mr. Hankey will be dancing on screen in front of us right now.
Yeah. So to bring us back on track, yeah, we're giving this away.
Yep.
And it's nice.
It's one of their best boxes they've done in a long time.
You like it.
I like it.
You like it a lot.
I like it a lot.
Right. What else is new, Ben? Oh, look, there's some Chaos Space Marines coming up.
Ah!
Yeah, so hot on the news of Shadow Spearing giving that away, of course. The guys at Games Workshop are also working on some new Chaos Space Marines, which are actually available for pre-order this weekend. So, of course, one of the big ones is Abaddon the Despoiler is now out there in the world. He's going to be leading the attack for all the Chaos Space Marines on the tabletop very, very soon, no doubt. The new sculpt looks fantastic. Really like what they've done with him, sort of giving him this big presence as well, sort of so that he can sort of stand up against some of the like Marnius and obviously the returned Rubuté Gulliman, or Robot Gurliman, as I like to call him. As well as that, we've also got the addition of some new plastic kits as well. So there's the new Chaos Space Marine plastic kit, which is coming out, which a lot of people would have seen some previews of with like Blackstone Fortress and what they've done there. This is actually entirely compatible with the previous plastic kit. So if you're one of those people that's kept a lot of bits together and all that kind of thing, there are really nice options for sort of mixing and matching. You should see some in that article there where they've sort of mixed and matched a couple of the different legions together between the old and the new sprues. As well as that, with every new release that seems to come out now, there's also a new piece of terrain as well, and this is called the Noctilith Crown, or as people have also crowned it, the Kel Space Marine Stargate. Someone wants that back, yeah. SG1.
It's kind of weird looking though. Mm-hmm. Like, as if you're going to go through a portal, right? Do you really want your spiky bits on the inside of the rib?
No, I don't.
Well, I was thinking, where's the staircase to get into it?
Oh, well, they're going to jump through it, man.
Yeah. Oh, right, well, so they've got like a catapult, you know, some kind of space marine ballista.
But as you're going through a portal, you don't really want to be as you're going through the other. So bring it back up for a sec.
Well, okay.
Do you know what it looks like? It looks like some sort of medieval chastity belt.
Yeah.
That's what it's like, a part of a chastity belt from the Middle Ages.
You're not the first person to reference something very similar to that.
I'm thinking more of the Merovingian man, the Da Vinci's drawing.
Did he put spikes on the inside?
No, but if you put someone in position in there, you'd pretty much be like...
Do you mean the Vitruvian man?
Vitruvian man, sorry.
Do you mean like any circle that exists?
So it's a circle?
No, never mind. Reference lost.
It's not lost, but it's just a circle and a square with a man inside it.
Light!
Yeah, whatever.
But the interesting thing about the actual Noctilith Crown in terms of gameplay purposes as well, it's almost their sort of like way to harness more warp energy and warp power. And it also has some really cool things to do with the psychers as well. Interestingly, it's actually made out of Blackstone. That is obviously, as you might have imagined, from Blackstone Fortress. So it's this sort of new material that they've managed to get their hands on. And tentacles, of course, as well. Mutants everywhere. As well as that, they've also thrown into the mix a sort of updated codex, which includes a whole bunch of new stuff in there that's sort of been tweaked from chapter approved and all that kind of thing as well. I will say, though, that they have talked about on their blog that you don't actually have to buy this new codex if you already had the one from 2017, I believe it is, because a lot of the same stuff in there is pretty much in there. You can just buy some sort of update PDFs. And also, if you pick up the new box for Shadowspear, which has some new stuff in there as well. And of course, there's Vigilus Ablaze, which is the new sort of expansion to what's happening with Vigilus. There are some sort of data slates and data sheets in there that you want to use to pick up and sort of add to your force. So if you do have the one from 2017, you don't have to automatically go out and buy the new one, but it would help, I suppose, as well, which is kind of cool. So
I have the box here for Shadow Spear, right? So there's got the Demonkin in it.
Yes.
So I can take those models and run that with that codex.
Yeah, there's a mini codex in this box with all of their new rules in there for both sides, so the Vanguard and the Demonkin.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's how it works.
Cool.
Yeah, because obviously the one from 2017 might have those updated ones in, but you can download PDFs and all that kind of thing, or just pick up Shadow Spear and grab that. So, yeah.
It's nice to see that they're actually doing an updated codex rather than a brand spanking new codex, so that it's just tying everything together as an update.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool idea. And I'm really liking the sort of new style and aesthetic they've gone for the Chaos Space Marines. I think they've sort of stepped away from the kind of almost slightly weirdly comical look that they used to have with some of the stuff that they had previously in plastic. And now I think they've sort of embraced that slightly more serious look, which I think is pretty cool.
See, one thing I'm noticing for them is if we look at the image, you can actually see the different marks of armor have been mixed in a lot better than what we used to see, because it always used to look like just really modern armor, but I can see some like Mark III and Mark IV warplate mixed in amongst all this, which is very nice.
Yeah, it's a cool little touch, I think, that really sort of helps to bring together that idea of these guys of, you know, veterans of the Long War, that kind of thing. So, you know, these guys have been fighting in the Imperium and out of it in the warp and everything for millennia now, basically. So, very cool.
Cool. Like it. Like it a lot. Spiky. Love all those spiky bits all over them.
Yeah. Especially when I know
you're
down.
A fan of that.
Oh.
Moving on. Let's keep this show moving on. We got an evil Australian next. Don't we, Ben? And very evil Australian bloke.
Yeah, so one of the new commander expansions for Star Wars Legion was sort of previewed in a little bit more detail by Fantasy Flight Games, and that is director Orson Krennic, who you might know from Rogue One. And obviously he's going to be a new sort of interesting commander to add into your force. He's very much like a guy that his sort of philosophy is win at all costs. So a lot of his order cards are very much to do with sort of throwing your guys in defensively to stop you getting hurt or charging into battle when you're sort of on the brink just to do a little bit more damage to the opponent, that kind of thing. Or secure objectives and that kind of thing as well. Obviously, his trademark Death Troopers are sort of worked into his stats as well, so they come as an entourage for Krennic, which is pretty cool. So if you're one of these people that's playing as a Galactic Empire at the moment, there's another commander option for you to get stuck into, which is awesome. Mm. So.
I like it. Krennic was probably one of my favourite characters added to Star Wars.
He's great fun. He's an ambitious little git across the board, and his stats reflect that in the game as well.
But you'd be angry too if you built the Death Star and then had it taken off you. For
yeah. Mm-hmm. then Van Helsing swans in his carpet slippers because the boots hurt his feet, takes it off you. Yes.
Especially when it's been stolen by like someone who's not even there. Yeah. Mr. Digital stole your credit. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Is there Death Troopers and stuff in the game yet?
Yes, they Death
that
Troopers.
That must have passed me by because I'm.
They both were due to come out. They were both previewed in December.
Yeah,
and I think the Death Troopers came out. I think they may have been in production delay with Krennic. Death Troopers came out a little while ago.
Oh man, I gotta go.
So
check
they're already
that out.
They're already there. They're elite. If you take Krennic can take one of them, one squad as troops. Mm-hmm. So you can squeeze some elite troopers in as dungers, which is just great.
That's cool because then you can reenact that bit where he's when they're walking in triangular formation and they're all panned out behind him in the long grass.
Mm-hmm.
Walking up to, you know, some poor Mad Mikkelsen in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. Inerto, isn't
it? They just need some UV lights on their boots for information. Oh no, wrong franchise. I'm mixing franchises.
Well, if you see Mad Mikkelsen in Polar, you don't want to angry. So
you do not want to mess with the Black Kaiser.
Yeah, cool. So he's out now.
Yeah.
So if you've got the stuff, now you can grab the next bloke to order them about and get them to do really cool stuff.
I am liking seeing more commanders. It's giving you a lot more flexibility with the forces that you're going to be able to field for Star Wars Legion. Because that's what we found the last time we were playing was, you know, you were really, really sort of shoehorned into a certain style of build just to make it work out to the correct
place. Well, we only had one commander at that stage.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
You were limited massively.
Mm. Yeah, the interesting thing as well that I think is good is that clearly, Fantasy Flight Games, regardless of delays and stuff, are really focusing on some this idea that they had when the game first came out, that they're pretty much going to try and bring everything they can from the movies and that period of Star Wars history to the tabletop. So we're seeing that look back at Rogue One and that kind of thing as well. So it's really cool. I'm glad to see them expanding and continuing to give some options to players and stuff. So.
It's sweet because like just before we came in for filming, we were laying out some stuff on a table to take some photos from backstage tomorrow. Because Jerry's brought up some hobby. He's been working on these really cool buildings that look like the stuff from...
Skellig Michael.
Yes, which is
which
where...
Which was Act 2 in Star Wars where Luke went to hide.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I asked, oh, have we any like men to put in around this, like Celts or something? Celts. And Jerry goes, aye, we do, but we've got Star Wars.
We've got Star Wars.
So he bails all this Star Wars down on the table. We'll show you some photos and stuff in backstage tomorrow. Yeah. And I just look at it and go, that's the cool thing about Star Wars, is you can take so much different terrain, and then as soon as you put Star Wars miniatures on, it doesn't seem to matter what it is. It's sort of half, most of the time it immediately feels, this is Star Wars-y.
Yeah, it can be sci-fi without gluing extra bits and gubbins onto the side to make it look tacky.
Yeah, it's the great thing about a, like a sci-fi or a fantasy reign or IP where they, especially when they've got entire worlds, like there's the forest world, there's the desert world, there's this world, there's the lava world.
Here's a world like Coruscant where everything is exciting and new and futuristic, and that's where you can go full cyberpunk and full sci-fi. But at the same time, you can go, here's something like Tatooine where I've got some World War II buildings from Bolt Action, and they can quite happily just sit there then. So that works.
Yeah.
Likewise, some Dark Age Irish buildings also works.
Why not?
It looks really sweet. You got to see it tomorrow. Looking forward to showing it. It does look sweet, and it's on my mat.
that's what sets it off, to be fair.
You mean the mat that you got from the idea that you stole from me? Isn't it funny when people steal credit?
It's not your idea. How is it your idea? It was your mat. I looked at it and went, that looks cool.
In this show, whenever you give away my yellow blanket, I was saying, you can use this as a gaming mat. You went and used it as a gaming mat.
Oh, yeah, because we had a conversation about it before we came in to film the show. Yes, that's right. Wait, Justin, don't worry. I'm crediting you tomorrow with stuff. Don't worry, mate.
Is it the stains on your blanket?
No. Don't worry, mate. I am crediting you.
Oh, dear. This makes me nervous.
Speaking of terrain,
yes.
There's some really cool Doom terrain coming out from printable scenery.
Yes.
Oh, man, this hit the site during the week, and I was just like, oh, gotta have some of this.
Yeah, so this is from the guys at Printable Scenery. They've done some more STL file downloads for you to go and print away at home. One of the things that's just important to say here at the beginning is that a lot of people have talked about the idea of, like, are these going to be hard to print, etc. For a lot of people who've used these previously, apparently the guys at Printable Scenery make them very, very easy to use and easy to manage when it comes to 3D printing. So that's something to bear in mind when it comes to this, that it might be a good sort of first step for you and anything like that. But yes, this is their new set of slightly hellscape style terrain. They've got two options for you to pick up, as well as like a larger bundle as well. And it's either for the Doom Gate, which is like that front part of the fortress, or you've also got the Doom Ramparts, which are the walls and the massive towers and everything like that, and also the backs to it as well, which I thought was really, really cool. I was obviously looking at this, and obviously with Age of Sigmar being a thing, I was thinking about the idea of throwing some corn onto there and having this as like a big, huge corn citadel where they're sort of charging out to just try and destroy some Stormcrested Turtles that have wandered into their realm, perhaps. The other option for this as well could be for something, if you're going to try and be going down the sort of like role-playing route, maybe you want to send your really high-level characters into some sort of weird elemental plane-style hellscape or something and have them fighting through the gates of this fortress to try and destroy some demon lords or something like that, which was really cool. And, of course, if you can somehow play some Doom on the tabletop in some way, this could be a pretty good backdrop for it as well. So, yeah, it's a very nice stuff.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. And you could play Star Wars on it. I'm telling you, you could get away with it.
Oh, God, yeah.
I would be quite happy playing, like, 40K on this if you've gone into Planet in the Warp.
Go absolutely. I mean, these guys, the Demonkin,
would fit. Yeah, imagine that's one of their citadels.
They'd fit lovely in there, especially that big circle that they can all jump through.
I'd break out Ash from the Evil Dead and Evil Ash and Ludus Skellies and go Army of Darkness.
Oh, man, the Army of Darkness.
Yeah.
One thing I was going to say as well is that actually each of the different kits have lots of nice little tweaks and stuff to it. So for the gate, you can change the way that they're sort of like horns effectively come out of the top of the gate. And they've got a couple of different options for the ramparts and the towers at the same time as well. So there's lots of little things in there for you to play around with so it won't look the same and all that kind of thing. So yeah, very cool.
Yeah, they've also got some other components in there as well, Ben. What have they got?
So yeah, I wanted to just illustrate just sort of how wide-ranging this range can be as well. So they also showed off a couple of sort of additional accessories that have been worked in as well. So there's like a bridge, and there's also this like bubbling lava pools as well. So if you want to try and create something that's a little bit more dynamic on the tabletop and add some hazards in for your armies, you've got some really cool options there. A lot of people are actually saying what would be really cool is actually to use those bubbling pits instead of them just being for lava. You could turn them into sort of like the biomass digestion pools for the Tyranids or something. Do them in like green or blue or something. That could be pretty cool. So
nice that stuff. Could be really nice. I also like the way this bridge is designed, so that it's actually got that nice little bit of a sag to it, although I do wonder how you get that to work on the flatbed of the printer. There must be a scaffold or something in beneath that as well.
Yeah, I would imagine there's some stuff sort of worked into the program to try and make it all work and things. As I say, the guys at Printable Scenery have been doing this for quite a while now. They've done some really nice Kickstarter work, and a lot of people have been picking up their things. And a lot of people that have not necessarily tried 3D printing before have been using these and either taking them to fab labs or doing them at home and working through stuff. I think Dawn and Jana have tried out a little bit of 3D printing on these as well in the past. So very cool.
Yeah, I'm actually interested to give this company a go for some of the STL files that they sell them myself, you know, on top of Dawn and Jana giving it a wee experiment.
Yeah,
what do you think?
I think it's cool. I like the spiky walls and things that are brought there. It's not just the pool. Do you see them spiky walls and stuff in the background?
As I
cut the bits.
No, the lava ones.
If I go
just
one image there.
These jobbies, right? So the pool's at the front, then you've got the spiky sort of stuff at the back, which is cool.
Yep.
And then it's tied in really well with the mat. We have one of those mats as well.
Yeah, we have one of those.
Who's that from? Game Mat AU or someone?
I think it's Deep Cut.
Is it Deep Cut?
I'm not 100% certain.
It's one of those two.
It's Game Mat because I have it.
Ah, okay. Yeah. See, for the flaming walls behind it, you can actually do those as ice really easily.
Oh, yeah, you could. Yeah, you could make
that blue dry brush.
You could do that. You could change this into a different type of world and, like, go with like an icy, rocky outer. Which would mean, you could put like a blue, bubbly sort of thing.
So they'd just be like Icelandic thermal pools. Yeah. And then you could play games of Saga in Iceland.
Do you know, yeah, but like if
you're lots of black sand and thermal pools.
If you're into the sci-fi stuff for like Star Wars or whatnot, you could paint that in blues and things.
Yeah.
Do you know the way on Pluto and the further out in the solar system?
Yes. Yeah.
It's not water that you find in liquid form.
Yeah, it's like liquid methane and
ammonia and things like that. Yeah. You could screw around with that idea and paint it different colors. In fact, I think it's you can sometimes see volcanoes with like a
blue flame.
I've
got a load of images saved of blue flame volcanoes and lava in case I do another project.
In case.
So I mean, like even here on Earth, you can get blue flamed.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, take that and just twist it on its head and do blue flames and stuff. That'd be really sweet. Liking that a lot. Right, Benno, what's up next, mate?
So next up, we've actually got a little bit of board game news, and that is that USIopoly are actually creating another IP game. Surprise, surprise. And it's called Die Hard the Nakatomi Heist. Ooh. So this is Die Hard now on the tabletop. The premise of the game is that it follows the sort of that first movie, or if you want to be delving further back into the past, the book called Nothing Lasts Forever.
Smarty pants.
So this is an asymmetrical game where one player takes on the role of John McClane, as you might imagine, and everyone else plays as the villains who are trying to find him and stop him from ruining all their plans. It sounds really cool. We don't know too many more details about it just yet because we heard a little bit more about this at Gamma, but hopefully we'll hear some more extra stuff in the coming weeks and stuff, because it's meant to be out very, very soon indeed, towards the end of spring, I think. So watch out for that one.
See, I'm just waiting for this to turn up in the studio just because there's so many bad one-liners you can do, because you can just open the box to go, ho, 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 now I have the board game.
Yes, I need to watch the movie because no
have
one-liner.
Have you ever watched it?
I have watched the movie. Yeah. I mean, I need to rewatch it because all I'm thinking about is the bit where he drops him out the window.
Yeah, well, this is...
Yippee-ki-yay.
Yeah. Yippee-ki-yay, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. Then there's the scene with him in the air duct. Yeah, let's get together. Let's have a few laughs. Let's have a few drinks. I know I'm quoting it wrong.
Come out to the coast. We'll have a few laughs.
There you go.
I know I'm quoting it wrong, but I'll do it anyway.
Yeah, there are
this
no bad,
is the story of my life.
There are no bad one-liners in that film. That film is just wall-to-wall classics.
Yeah.
And I believe you get re-rolls if you do a Hans Gruber impersonation as well.
Yeah, but you're only allowed to play it if you take your shoes and socks off.
Yeah, well, the McClane character.
What, do you have to walk on your balls and feet? Balls of your feet.
What,
do you have to walk on your balls and feet? Balls of your feet.
You have to walk on your balls and feet.
Do you have to walk on the balls of your feet? Or make fists with your feet. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm tired.
Right, you go and do that. I want to see that. Justin.
Be quiet. No.
Nothing's going to paint a better picture in your mind than what he just said.
Dude,
anyway.
Come on.
So Norman's the news is some stuff that came out a couple of weeks ago from Warlord Games, and they're expanding on their sort of Dark Age collection. And so they've introduced a couple new miniatures into the mix. So there's three new Norman characters. Well, they're not new. They've existed for thousands of years. Well, 1,000 years. But yes, there's Bishop Odo, Duke William of Normandy, and Turstin Fitzrolf. Now, I know the first two. I have no idea about Turstin, but he sounds like a cool character indeed. I believe, Jerry, you were telling me that he was like a friend of William's or something like that.
Yeah, he was one of William's closest friends, and he was apparently the standard bearer at Stamford.
Oh, right.
So he should have a massive standard on that spear that he's waving there, which explains why it's so big.
But yeah, they've introduced those three new characters in Metal for you to go and pick up. And they've also done some extra stuff with some Saxon cavalry and also some slingers as well, which I thought was really cool.
Right, hold on. Let's see the cav.
And then you got some cavalry.
Yeah. Look at that. Sweet. I wanted to talk about these last week, but they came out so at the tail end, they didn't make it in the show. Mm-hmm. But it ties in well with what we were talking about last week. On the backstage show, we were talking about how Saxon miniatures had moved over into Warlord.
So. Mm-hmm. Colin's been looking to do things like this for ages, but it's just finding the time to actually get them done and dusted. I really like these slingers, especially the Saxon slingers, because I have a set of his Viking archers. And the Viking archers and these Saxon slingers are so close in actual outfits, because let's face it, Dark Age outfits weren't massively different, especially between the Anglo-Saxon/Anglo-Danes and the actual Vikings.
Yeah.
It means you can easily have these mixed in with various warbands, and they won't look too dissimilar because the sculpting style is all very consistent throughout the ranges.
One of the interesting things I was thinking about when I was looking back at sort of like historical weaponry and that kind of thing is that I always thought that slings potentially weren't that great at what they did or anything. They were kind of just given to the peasant to try and hopefully do some damage. But I was watching a show, I think it was a while ago, I think it was Mike Lodes who did it, who's this amazing historian who talks about historical combat and stuff. And he was saying that those slings thrown by an adept slinger could be like a bullet from a gun and they would just go straight through you if you weren't careful.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, dangerous, dangerous weapon.
He's the little hyperactive bald fellow, isn't he?
He is fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
There's nothing better than watching him get a couple of, they weren't even draft horses. They were a couple of, you know, Romany horses that would pull their caravans around the place. Yeah, and he decided he was going to show how good chariot combat was. And so he got these two together and was firing a bow off from the back of one of these as it tried to gallop along. And he's going, they're not a pair. They're not a team. Normally these would be grown up together, working as a team the whole time. These have no idea what they're doing. They're trying to pull against each other and go off. And he's still at the back of this, throwing, you know, firing bows and throwing javelins all over the place. He's great.
On YouTube?
No, yeah. Well, it probably
what's
is now,
the
yeah.
program?
I haven't seen that one in years.
He did a program that possibly is on YouTube at the moment. I think somebody might have found it. I think it was called Weapons That Made Britain, and it is an absolutely fantastic show. He goes to swords, shields, spears.
I know who we're talking about.
Well, yeah,
so.
Yeah. Okay. He did some stuff with Bentley Hughes, but the whole sling thing, slings are absolutely deadly. Obviously, the whole find decent shaped rocks is always a good one, but some armies actually equipped them with lead and actually had cast lead bullets.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, they were sort of oval shaped. So you weren't having to go and look for a stone that has the right shape. They would just cast lead shot.
I didn't realize
which is why the guns, when guns came in, they started, the lead balls were called shot because it was just the new way of firing
the shot.
From your slingshot to lead shot to bullets and blah.
So I thought you just lumped a rock in it and went for it.
Yeah,
I didn't realize
you
actually went for it.
But if you could find different, you know, particular shapes of better aerodynamics, which means they went further, they went faster and were more accurate.
I guess it's pretty obvious when you're trying to skip a stone.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know? If you just throw a big rock and it just goes plump.
I think if I remember it, I remember seeing a documentary where they were actually at a Roman site.
Oh, the Romans were great. They used to write stuff on theirs.
Yeah.
There was
one of them, the archaeologist picked it up and translated it and just went, this actually reads, take that.
So you could get a rock with your name on it.
Yeah. Baldrick. So the chances of being two rocks with Baldrick on it. Very slim.
Oh, cool. That's cool.
Yeah, I'm really
loving
those.
Get some slings now. Come on, excited about it.
Like, hang on. The number of times I've came into this office and found random weaponry, it's no. I'm not letting you get slings. No,
I'm not going to get real slings. I'm going to get some slingers.
Yeah.
I'm not going to slingers. Run out. Not actually getting the weapon.
No, I'm
apologies.
Not going to run out and start tying my socks together and like, weird.
You need to do that if you're going to walk on your balls.
Exactly. Because you're not going to need your socks anymore. There's another Dark Age release that's just come out this week that looks really sweet out of War Banner,
yeah.
Or Footsore, what do they call them? War Banner, let's see it.
Footsore miniatures.
Yeah, so this is a new release that is, I think it's on the cusp of coming out. I don't think it's directly in their website just yet, but I imagine it will be there for Salute and all that kind of thing. But this is their new Breton Cavalry Command. So if you're going to be using a lot of mounted units in your armies, be that for Saga or any other game set within the Dark Ages, these are some pretty cool options for you to go and pick up. They're presented, as you might imagine, in that kind of standard format for a command unit. You've got your banner bearer, you've got your sort of champion, as it were, a musician, and then someone to act as like a bodyguard for your captain as well, which I thought was really cool. It's also obviously in four, so it works really nicely for Saga, which is really good. But yeah, a really nice new little thing that they previewed, and the guys at Footsore really sort of adding slowly into the mix and sort of growing each of the different factions so that they can be effectively an entirely all metal force of pretty much all of them now, which is pretty cool. So yeah,
Paul Hicks is probably one of the best sculptors out there, and that looks like it's more of Paul's work. I think I know he certainly did all the other stuff, so
Well, one thing I was actually going to say as well when it comes to the guys at Footsore and Warbanner is that if you haven't noticed it or you don't spend a lot of time on their web store like Lloyd and Jerry do, they actually do really nice things where every sort of, I think it's every month they do a new miniature.
Yeah.
So there's some really, really nice special miniatures on their website. They've done in the past things for their feudal Japanese range. They're doing, I think it's a Hoplite at the moment. A special character and that, like, kind of thing. So keep an eye on that and sort of watch out because there's some really cool things in there that will, you know, add to your warband and maybe make a sort of dynamic new leader for your guys on the tabletop. So,
yeah. They are keen on that because, like, regularly you'll come in and go, here, do you want that, Lloyd? I got that because I placed an order and then they sent a special character.
And because I place multiple orders in a month, I get multiple of the same character every month.
Yeah. Anyway, it's that awkward moment where we both turn up to game and we've got the same men.
Well, you know.
Well, what if you have to change, clearly?
As long as they're not touching, that's fine.
Well, it has to change. It looks cool. I really like it.
Yeah.
I love the way they just run out their range even more. Right. Mm. A little feature here. We're going to have War Meets Matt soon, but coming up before that, we've got a challenge that's going to be running through the project system, Ben.
Yeah, so starting today and running until April the 13th, you've got a month to get involved in the Vermintide Survivor Challenge. Now, Laughing Boy, one of our community members, awesome guy, is going to be giving away a collector's edition code for Warhammer Vermintide 2 on Steam. So it's on PC, so bear that in mind. But you can still get involved anyway, which is pretty cool. But effectively, what we want you to do is dive into the project system. You'll be able to find on the drop-down menu for the sort of related contests an option for the Vermintide Survivor Challenge. And we want you to kitbash either one survivor, two survivors, three, four, that you think would be able to hold out in the Skaven invasion during the end times of Warhammer. So we can't wait to see what you guys do. We know you guys love messing around and boshing things together. So this is a perfect excuse for anybody who's got loads of the Frostgrave stuff, pretty much. Go and get all that Wargaming Lego, bash it together, and you might be able to win yourself a pretty cool PC goat. So,
and it's cool to see one of our community members feeding back in, using the project system to get other community members involved.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's going to judge the stuff over on his YouTube channel.
Mm.
Isn't he?
Laughing Boy's got his own channel where he does a lot of stuff. So he does miniature reviews. He also does a couple of different playthroughs with his family as well, which is really cool. I believe he's done some really awesome stuff for HeroQuest in the past, which is well worth going to watch. Go and check him out and see what you think. The post is live now. Go and get your project started and we'll give you a month to put something together. We want to hear some names and background for all these characters as well, because that's always important when it comes to these post-apocalyptic survivors and that kind of thing. So yeah.
Yeah. Sweet. Cool. Thank you very much, Laughing Boy. I think that's a really cool
idea.
Get in
there, Martin. Go on, you good thingy.
Mm-hmm. Right. We've got a War Meets Matt. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. Matt came in.
It's very cool.
Who's it from, Justin?
It's from the guys at PW Work Games, I believe. It literally is just called the Frostgrave War Games Terrain Matt. So it's from these guys here. Lovely looking Matt, but I'm sure Warren wants to wind a bit about it.
So I've grabbed me Justin, and Lloydie's Jerry, and we're going to have a look at the new Frostgrave mat from Pwork Wargames. Now, this is an official mat, officially created by the guys at Pwork Wargames and Osprey itself. The mat comes in a few different sizes, 3x3, 4x4, 3x6, and 4x6, or 6x4 as we like to call it. This is a 6x4. Yep. Because I like to go big when I go mats.
Yeah. Well,
you get to see all the details.
Here's the thing. It doesn't just have to be used for Frostgrave. This is a lovely runes map.
It is very, very, very cool. Right. So let's get stuck into some of the details first off. And then I'm going to have a little bit of a play. Uh-huh. Okay.
These are good.
So.
Careful.
Frostgrave. First things first. It's a game about wizards.
It is.
Wizards battling. And one of the cool things is right now, it's either out or just about to come out, there's kind of like a wizard's construction kit from the guys at North Star.
Yeah. Oh. So the 8 wizard multi-part, all singing, all dancing, tiny duck, tiny squirrel, everything's there.
All sorts of things on it. I want to get my hands on that. And it was a good opportunity to have a look at a Frostgrave mat in the process.
Yes.
Detail-wise, God, where do you start? It is uber detailed, this one. The print resolution is very, very good. We're starting to get to the point where the print resolution can't really get any better because you actually start to see the texture of the fabric underneath.
Yeah, so, but then it's coming down to the skill of the artist that's making the mat.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So as you can see, you've got lots of snow-covered patches. You've got various... What I suspect is going on here is buildings over buildings over buildings.
Yes, which is perfect for Frostgrave.
Yeah, because you've got that sense of looking either down into the depths of dungeons or... just looking at the periods of different periods of time as things have progressed. So you have really lovely features like this European arc.
So the cobblestone paving.
Yes. Yeah. That is called a European arc, Justin.
Okay. If you're going to get fancy.
I'm a bit of a fan of paving and cobblestones. Yeah. So each of these wee sets make up that nice fan.
Okay.
And I'm a fan of that particular pattern.
You're a fan of the fan?
I'm a fan of the fan. Here, you've got some rubble, and then breaking down through the European arc, you can almost see down into what I would suggest is kind of like a dungeon kind of a thing.
Maybe. Or just some flagstones.
Or just some flagstones.
That's great.
That's I've got to be dull.
A whole world of imagination and just flagstones.
Unfortunately, you know.
Okay, Justin, let's see how many other of my ideas you can shit on during this.
All right, game on.
So through here, we actually have the remains of some of the stonework, okay? Or just bricks, according to Justin. Coming on through. So you have actually start to have some areas kind of defined a little bit. These, to me, look like the footprints of some kind of devious creature that has been wandering around. But Justin thinks it's...
That's Bob just walking about.
Just Bob walking about, yeah.
I do like how when they do run the footprints in, they run two different sizes. So you could have human, and then you could have some sort of terrible goblin or gnoll thing that's crawling about the ruins. So it's not just... one set of tracks.
Yeah, I was about to say a halfling, but a halfling's feet are probably bigger than a human's feet. Yeah,
so it's an interesting one here where it looks like one of them has just been panicking back and forth, going, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do?
Probably just standing on guard.
Now he discovers some narrative. That's exactly what that is. So it's, and this is exactly where I would maybe place the latrine.
Just have the toilet.
Right. Yeah. As with any mat, the proof is in the pudding. Mm. So I've picked out, I've got a couple of quick things that I want to test with this. Right. Yeah. First, I want to stick some terrain on it. So I've pulled out some of the Daldor ruins that we have winterized. So I just want to see how it actually blends and have a look at it from the perspective of where you might align stuff to, because it's always a case of trying for me anyway, I want to put terrain down, taking care to the narrative of the mat.
Where it makes sense, so where you've got things like this cobblestone all around, that is almost an ideal position for some large building or large ruin.
Yeah.
Because that would be the outside paving then, sort of crumbing around.
Let's have a look at that and see if we can do something along those lines to create that kind of effect, where we're just lining it up with the cobblestone pathways that we go around it. And then likewise, I kind of like how, you know, buildings ruin in kind of like segments.
Yeah, especially where you've got a lot of that uncovered sort of earth texture or rubble texture. You know, you're not seeing the streets, you're not seeing the ruins anymore. All you're seeing is just the result of collapse.
And we'll bring that to there. That's all starting to come together now, isn't it? So don't need that bit or that bit. Mm. Or that bit. Let's run with that, we see.
Alright.
Okay. So there already we can start to see that is blending rather nicely. I think, you know, with some finishing touches. Now, come with me, and I'm going to show you something else. Something that I love playing with here in the member suite. So as you'll know, in the member suite, we did a kind of a lighting rig that me and Justin hand-built ourselves.
Royal we!
Yeah, me and Justin, I said. So we have this kind of panel that we can control the member suite lighting. So if I click here, I've set up a little one here called Frostgrave. And if I click that, dook, have a look over there. And you will see. So
we are illuminated.
Really does change the mood of this table.
Now, tell me that this is the beginnings of a proper game of Frostgrave right now.
Yeah.
All we really need to be doing is just blaring out some Led Zepp now with, you know, a bit of the Immigrant Song in the background and you're flying.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. So just with a little smattering of blue LED light and it starts to, your darkness starts to really elevate.
Yeah.
Through the thing.
Well, it starts to tie the terrain down and into the map.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It all starts to tie together. Right, that is your Frostgrave map, the official one, from P-Work. Nice job, P-Work. I like this one.
You know, I always love mats that let me actually just do a bit of theming work with what I'm rolling with. Like, seeing all that nicely ruined stuff just being on the mat and then putting some runes on top of it really blends it all together. Because there's times I put runes down and there's nothing around it. It's just that hard edge where the rune ends. And that annoys me a little bit.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Mm.
I see what you're saying.
Easily
there.
Annoyed.
Rather than it just being a hard edge, bang, there's runes and then there's no sign of the actual
the rest of the map.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, it's a nice detail to have, and it's nicely thought out.
Nice neoprene love.
Mm.
Nice. Right, Kickstarters, gents.
Yes.
I've got a couple to go through. Well, I've got a few to go through this week. First up, we've got Miniature Jungle Terrain.
So this is from the guys at TH Miniatures, or THM Miniatures. Let's go that way. I'm going to do it that way instead.
TH Miniatures. It's Terry Terry something. And when I say Terry, I mean as in Terry Henry. He's French/French-Canadian.
Is it not the miniatures?
No.
Okay.
No. Terry Crews.
Yes. Crews. Let's miniatures. Go with that.
Yeah. And this is a new set of resin cast jungle terrain for you to add into your sort of exotic tabletops and things. So if you're playing something like Ghost Archipelago, this would be pretty cool for that kind of game. So this involves a couple of different pieces. As included within the collection, you've got things like the Lost Temple itself, which is like a larger building that sort of sits in the middle of it all. You've got things like crumbling walls. You've got gate access and things for your tribes to run around in. You've got the monolithic structures, some pyramids as well, and also some sort of broken down statues and things like that. So if you want to have some sort of signifiers and objectives on the table, you've got those options there too. As I say, these are all going to be sort of resin, so you'll get these and you'll get the physical things in your hand. But as well as that, they're also opening up some things in their add-on section further down the page as well. So if you want to go and look back at some of their older projects that they've worked on, they've got things like, I think it's Ruins, Fortifications, Volcanic, Hordes, and like a Snow one as well. So if you want to get involved with those and check out some more of their terrain, you've got some really good options there. But I think this looks really, really good. And it's nice to see something that's a little bit sort of different from the standard fantasy fare when it comes to tabletop terrain. So yeah, very cool.
I love them
quite
a bit.
Nice Aztec ink, I feel, to it.
Even things like Savage Worlds, I want to say. Mm. There's a really nice,
Savage Worlds, yeah.
Really nice range of apes, like with spears, or primal humans or whatever. I can't remember what the actual term is, although they do look like they've just been lifted from the new land of, or what do you call it? Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Is the words I was looking for there. Mm. They would look great jumping around there.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously another good option for that, sort of going down that kind of route, you've also got that sort of pulpy side to it as well. So if you want to throw some of your guys in there that are going to go exploring and looking for lost treasure, sort of Nathan Drake style Uncharted thing, you've got those options there too, sort of Indiana Jones and that kind of stuff, yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
And anybody who's got themselves like Aztec miniatures and stuff, that'd be a good addition.
Yeah.
Is this still more the same?
Well, these are the older ones.
These are the older ones. I have the first three. I never got the stuffy stuff, but they're absolutely gorgeous. And they're really light cast resin. So there's no really, really fine details. So for war gamers, people like me who will chuck things in the corner, they're really handy.
All right, so they're robust. Yeah, they're the word you're looking for.
Yeah, they're robust enough. The Hordes one, particularly with all the bones and tusks on it, is nice. So the fact that if he's opened up the old Kickstarters that you can pick out bits and pieces from that as well, definitely some of the Horde stuff would mix in with this, because you could go for that deserted Aztec temple with your Land Before Time, because there's like massive dinosaur like bones in there. just have it strewn about.
Or you could again, like we've talked a few times, take it into the Star Wars universe.
Yeah,
they could be like bantha bones and things.
Create dragons on Tatooine, massive massive bones there. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Mm. Put them into your desert.
Sweet.
Go team. At which point the jungle stuff actually would be perfect for Star Wars, because that would just look like the Sith temple on Yavin, where the rebels had their base.
You could do it.
Although never open a Jedi Academy in a Sith temple. Look, looking at you, you muppet.
You could do it for Force Awakens as well. Whenever Han and Chewie land with, what's her name? Oh, I forgot Rey. Her name. Rey, yes. On the planet where she finds the lightsaber.
Yes.
Whenever they go into the bar, because all of that's that Aztec style.
That's true. Yeah.
Option.
Star Wars. If you've got terrain, just play Star Wars with it.
Gary's advice for 2019.
Yep.
But we do have another Kickstarter that might tie in really well with this.
Yes.
This has only got a few days left, though.
Mm-hmm.
But we thought, you know, it ties in so well, we'll highlight it anyway.
Yep.
So there's some The Jungle's Awakening, which is basically a lizard man army.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's been going great guns. What is it? Is it funded? It is funded, isn't it? Scroll back up.
Funded in a massive way.
It is funded in a massive way.
Yeah. People are digging this.
Yeah, but so this is from this is from the guys at Last Sword Miniatures. So I think they've done some stuff before, which was sort of elven-based, which was really cool.
Did elf, and some that looked not dissimilar to Warhammer's Old Empire as well.
Yes, yes, very true.
But I think you'll see that this stuff could blend in real nice with the Kickstarter we've just looked at.
Yeah,
Yeah. So they're looking at doing a range of between 28 and 32 mil, whichever wargaming scale you're using nowadays for your sort of standard fantasy stuff. A lizard folk army, as Loeb was saying, they've sort of thrown into the mix. They've kind of hit all the bases that you would have imagined from sort of like looking at the old world and that kind of appearance of lizard men and things. So you've got things like, as they've named them, skinks, saurians. There's some big things that are a little bit like croxigors. They've called them caimans, which are looking absolutely epic. You've also got things like the larger toad creatures that are sort of your old ones in there as well. There's also a thyroscutus, I'm going to say, which is their sort of big monstrous lizard beast that you could sort of throw into the mix as well. They're doing these either as sort of smaller packs, or you can get them as large regiments or the entire army as a whole if you really wanted to as well. And they've actually been working alongside the people who run the Ninth Age, which is sort of like that sort of spiritual successor to Warhammer Fantasy, to try and create a sort of list of units and list of army sort of bolt-ons and that kind of thing that will be useful for that game. So if you wanted to try and find a game to play these with, and you didn't want to play something like Age of Sigmar and play as the Seraphon, for example, you could use these in the Ninth Age or whatever you wanted to try. Maybe you wanted to get stuck into sort of Warlords of Erewhon with lizard folk and that kind of thing as well. It would be very cool. But yeah, looking really, really awesome. And they've also thrown in a couple of bits and pieces here to sort of develop terrain options and that kind of thing as well. But yeah, looking really nice. And Lizardmen are always fascinating to see how they get brought to the table. They're always so full of character as well, which is really cool.
That's so cool.
I have a salamander army for Kings of War somewhere that really could do with being fleshed out. Not that I'm going to start any projects anytime soon.
That big beastie they've got is awesome looking. And then that other sort of command guy who's all like, do as I want.
Jazz hands. Kermit Jazz Hands.
He reminds me a bit of, what's the guy that they go to see, the Jar Jar Binks? And he says,
Boss Nash. Brian Blessed.
That's really cool. I mean, like Ben was saying, there's so many different fantasy games.
That could be Star Wars.
Like Age of Magic and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That you could use that in. Yeah, so it's hard one. It's a hard one to resist. Go back to the big beastie.
The one with the massive
astral lab on its back.
Yes.
That one.
Because I was as he was scrolling down through that, I was going, this is quite hard to resist. I can understand why it's like funded pretty well for a range of
minis.
That's
only 45 euros. So you have to assume that he's on at least a 60 mil.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Well, it looks like there's a couple of bases have been added together. So it's a 60 mil with a couple of maybe 32s beside it.
Go back up to the group shop. Have they got any painted shots?
Just at the very start.
I think there's one or two. So
whiz back up to the top.
Give me a sec.
Because I'm sitting here going, oh, must resist. Because I've already got my croot and stuff to make into my green, skinny sort of army for Age of Magic. Oh, I know they're not lizards, but I'm saying I already have, like, because I'm looking at this going, all the colors and stuff would paint it, but I already have an excuse to do something that's all colorful. Oh, here we go. Is this the stuff?
That's their scale test. So they're skinks. It's
bigger than a GW Skink, but smaller than a GW Skink. So that's good.
Any more?
No, there's just some how to play the stuff, and that's the end.
Oh, man, you guys, you should get some more painted minis up there. But then again, you are funded, and you've only got not very many days to go.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
A week to go.
Up next is another sort of cool terrain thing that's popped up this week.
Yeah, this is one
Justin,
that kind of has
you really
me
like this.
Yeah,
you?
This is one that has me excited. So this is Puzzle Lock Playsets.
Yeah.
So it is funded. It's a 3D printer Kickstarter. So the thing I instantly like about 3D printer Kickstarters is as soon as those files are designed, they can be instantly digitally sent to the backers. There is no shipping. There is no that stuck on a boat from China. It is just there in your inbox, and you can start playing about with it in your 3D printers.
Yeah.
But the look of it is absolutely great. So you've got two types here. So you've got this really nice sort of Kiev Hacks design, and it's all interlocking. So you see the little sort of like dovetails here beside it.
Yep.
How many times have you laid out a gaming board with just flat edges and it takes a knock or someone shimmies the table and all of a sudden you've got gaps all the way through your play area?
Ah, it's so annoying. Jigsaws are the way of the future.
Yeah, just a
give
little
me jigsaws.
And you've got so many different options for the key. If you could make a really huge network. And again, this is not something you have to worry about. How many of this component am I getting? How many of this component am I getting? If you need the component, you just set it to run. So you design out the Kiev that you want and then print all the bits you need for
it. The thing about this, and you'll probably see it when the picture scroll down a wee bit, just stop there, right?
Yeah.
No, go back. Well, yeah, go back up and then we can come down, right? Now, you would think of this being hex-based, it would look kind of hexy. But they've done a really good job of sculpting the actual caverns and stuff, that when they start putting them together and painting them and stuff.
It's those organic join points.
It really doesn't look that hexy at all, which is really cool. It looks really bubbly. Like, even there, though, you can see that it's a hex pattern.
Mm-hmm.
When you look in close, see in the picture on the right,
it doesn't just
go, I'm a load of hexes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it works really well.
Yeah. The other one is a square-based one where it's more of like a true internal dungeon. But even it has some really cool components. You've got like different doors and things, and then you've got all the different corridors, archways, some of the steps. I love the idea of doing like big altars and stuff with those steps. Maybe stick four or five of those together. It'd be very cool. Then what else do we have here? Yeah, we've got some triangular stuff. And
some cheese wedges.
Yeah. But there's what it looks like, and there's what I'm talking about. You see the way they've put four of the raised areas together for that?
Yeah.
That just looks really cool.
With the genie on the top.
With the genie on the top, yes.
So you like that. They've given you a very modular system, in your opinion, for building things that that you're not expecting.
Look at everything you're fit to do with this, just mixing and matching the way you're putting stuff together.
Now, there is a point where they pass from being in the caverns to the square stuff somewhere on this page.
I think it was actually during
I'll ask Ben what he thinks. Or was it during one of the videos?
I think it was one of these two videos down near the bottom where it actually runs you through like a nice pan of going from the caves to the dungeons to the components on their own.
Well, Ben, let's come over to you. Justin, you can just double check that. What do you think, Ben?
Yeah, I'm really liking the look of this. I think it's fascinating to have some more options for people that want to try and create dungeons. And obviously with this being STL files that you print at home and that kind of thing, it's slightly less sort of like expensive than going and buying out the big sort of Dwarven Forge stuff and all that kind of thing. I'm really liking what they're doing with this. And as you say, the details on these are really cool. I really like some of the sort of additional elements they've added to it as well. So for a lot of the different tiles and things, especially for the dungeon one, you've got some options like doors and gates and wells and all that kind of thing as well. So there's a little bit of terrain thrown in there too, which is good for sort of adding things, adding a little bit more sort of dynamism to all the locations you're fighting in. I think it's fantastic what they're doing, and they're working towards some other stuff in their stretch goals as well. I know they've been sort of looking at things like traps and secret doors for more props. They're going to try and look at some new environments as well. So sewers and the Undercity, I think, is one. There's crypts and the catacombs, and then there's burrows and tunnels.
Burrows.
Burrows and badges.
Reset the clock.
How did you sneak that in?
No, it is on the Kickstarter. He's not lying. It's right there. Burrows and tunnels.
Yeah. Oh, is there any major magic stuff on there?
No, it's not. I'm enjoying this because I've been looking closer and closer at 3D printing this last while, and I want to do some more experiments. So I mean, like, something like this, I would probably jump in on to have a bit of an experiment and a bit of a play with.
Yeah, that's two really cool 3D printing things we've looked at this week. We've got the Doom stuff.
Mm.
What is it? The Doom gates and stuff coming out of printable scenery.
Yep.
We already have a massive range. Like, if you go and check our website, the catalog's just immense.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to see some other stuff. So, like, if you're investing in 3D printing, there's no shortage of stuff for you to get on with. Really cool. Right, Ben. Up next, our last Kickstarter this week is...
Yeah, so the last one is called Critical Core, yeah. And this is a new sort of role-playing module system, a sort of newly designed thing by Game to Grow. Now, Cass and Ryan have talked about this a little bit more on Indie Thursday this week, so if you haven't watched that show, it's very, very cool to go and check out. So go and find that on the channel. We'll have some links below and stuff as well. But Sam's also talked about this as part of his D&D in Therapy article as well. And this is a tabletop RPG that has been designed to help people who are on the autism spectrum, specifically children and younger gamers and stuff as well. And it's all sort of designed to help them build their confidence and their social skills. So the game plays a little bit like a role-playing game. It's based on the Dungeons & Dragons system for 5th edition, but with a lot of the sort of... tougher mechanics ripped out of there to try and make it a little easier to learn. And it comes with all the things you would expect. So it comes with character sheets and module adventures and that kind of thing. You've got dice and all the character sheets, blah, blah, blah. But the really cool thing they've added into the mix as well for this thing called the Facilitator's Guide. And this is effectively that therapeutic element of it. And it helps you as the storyteller or the narrator sit down at the table with younger gamers and younger role players and sort of work through some of those things that will help those that are on that spectrum. So it deals with things like problem solving, sort of the changing of plans and having to dynamically think about what you want to do next, working together in cooperation, also things like confidence building and communication as well. So they've really sort of delved into this and done a lot of testing and studying with a lot of other groups and kids and that kind of thing, just to see how it all works. And the other sort of big plus to this as well is that it looks really cool. The artwork looks amazing. The finish on a lot of stuff they've done for it looks really good as well. I'm really digging the monster cards and a lot of stuff they've done for the character art and that kind of thing as well. So, yeah, really nice looking Kickstarter. And as I say, Cass and Ryan have talked about it in a little bit more detail on Indie Thursday. So if you want to learn a bit more, you can go and talk to them about it and in the comments and see what they think as well. So, yeah.
It's cool. It is cool. I remember when I was a kid, you know, I was quite shy. But there was a guy came over from England. I'd never really done role-playing before. Mm-hmm. But he sat us all down. He got us all role-playing. And suddenly you've got four or five kids. Mm-hmm. You don't normally talk to each other that much. Yeah. You know, maybe it's your neighbors. Like, they live close to you and stuff, but you don't really engage with them. And then all of a sudden you're together and you're communicating. You're having your adventure. You're having your head on your sprite, unfortunately, cut off when your brother decides to be the DM and tries to just ruin everything you want to do. Isn't that right, Warren?
Yeah. That's what
it's all about ruining hobby.
I was just going to add one more extra thing in there. A lot of people have talked about this with Sam's article they did last week about sort of D&D and therapy, and a lot of people just assume that with thinking that role-playing is the only way to try and achieve that kind of thing. But this the same goes for tabletop games of any type, be they card games, board games, role-play games, or war games themselves, like Saga and all those kind of things.
Yes.
It's that ability to sit around a table or stand around a table with other people and sort of... you know, generate these interesting stories around other people and just get used to it on a confidence level as well. So,
but it's about the interaction in the real world.
Yes.
You know, you're not carved off and looking at a screen in a room on your own. When you're doing tabletop gaming, you're literally face to face talking to each other.
The way to describe this is it actually sets a social framework, which has some very clearly defined boundaries, which makes someone who's perhaps a little socially awkward feel quite safe. And it actually helps them because it gives them, this is something very silly, it gives them permission to be social. Because a lot of time, you can be so scared to be social with people if you are a little socially awkward, it just terrifies you. But being in games and playing games of any sort, it puts you in a mind frame and in a situation where it's okay. And you're actually feeling okay because you're all under the same sort of onus.
Yeah, exactly. I like that, the way of describing it. It's a framework of... Here's how you interact with each other based on this framework. You're not sitting there trying to think, what do I do now to interact with you?
Yeah.
Because I'm playing the game and the game is saying, this is how you interact with each other. Because like a lot of the time you can turn around and go, I don't know this person. I don't know how to interact with this person. And it becomes a stressful point because you spend a lot of time looking at that person trying to think.
It gets more and more
awkward as you do it.
Mm-hmm. But it gives you that continuous common ground when you're playing a game together. So I think this is really
great. 5 years later, you realize you still don't know that person's name. You see them every day in work.
Yeah.
And you just go, how you going, mate?
How's it, Bob?
I'm terrible with names. See, when I was in high school, I got
the number of times you and Warren mix me and John up.
I got to the end of high school and there were still people in my class that say, I don't know what your name is.
Don't know who you are. Don't care who you are.
I was one of those kids. Everybody knew me, but I knew nobody. It was just really weird. You know?
But everybody knows you, Justin.
Yeah, but I don't know why. It was weird.
Because, well, I don't know.
Maybe I just have one of those faces.
Well, if you were talking about walking on your balls.
Oh, stop it. And on that note, everybody, we hope you've had a fantastic Saturday morning with us.
That might have been a wee indicator.
Yeah.
He wasn't talking about it, he was just doing it.
Ben, you were saying the artwork is amazing. It was one of the things that jumped out at me first. I was looking at it. Can you find it? Like, there is a monster somewhere on the Kickstarter. The artwork's just immense. It's really, really good.
So it's the orc you're
yes,
after.
Yes, yes. What do you see this? Look, check out the artwork on this. Now, as a kid, artwork on D&D type stuff and trading cards and all that sort of stuff was one of those things that would like really draw me in. Yeah. So I mean, just look at it and the art and the books and stuff as well. Mm-hmm. Man, I can't wait to see some more of that. Mm-hmm. That's just awesome. Right, gents. What do you think, Jer?
I'm loving it. Certainly haven't skimped on the artwork. Mm. Let's put it like that. It'll be interesting to see what they actually do to change the mechanics though, because listening to the video, just sounds like they're describing every role-playing game that exists.
That's true.
And I don't know how that makes it any different.
Because when they did sit down to describe it, I said to you, they're just describing how a role-playing game works.
Yeah.
But I guess maybe they're aiming at this as an audience who doesn't know how a role-playing game works. So therefore, maybe they don't need to make it different.
That's true.
I have to wonder if they've perhaps dropped out the combat side of things and made it more about the social interaction. So your GM
Not if you've got an insurmountable foe there. What are you going to do when he comes at you with the axe?
Yeah, there's still going to be some combat.
But hang on. Read this. At first, players may think they can overcome this obstacle through combat, but on closer inspection reveals there may be another solution.
Yeah, what means there's combat in the game.
Okay, fine. There's combat in the game, but it's pushing them towards more of a social resolution to things.
Well, it's giving them an option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't take that option with an orc.
As long as I'm given the option.
Never take the option with an orc.
I can whack him with my club.
Yeah.
Or I can tickle him and laugh. Yeah. I don't know what the other option is. But who knows?
You tickle him, and while he's laughing, I'll beat him over the head with my club. And that's how you deal with orcs.
Well, you see, it's that way when you get the critical feel on your roll. You try to push the orc off the ledge, you get a one, and you gently caress his back. The orc is now uncomfortable.
Nah, that's all right. We know how to deal with orcs from now on.
Boom, boom.
That's it. You heard it here. Tickle him.
I actually want to see you two role-playing as a duo.
Tickle him and smash their head in. Job done. Benno, do you want some last words on that, mate?
I was just going to say, I think, as you were saying, this is sort of aimed towards people that maybe haven't potentially looked at role-playing games before as a way of sort of bringing a group of kids together or a group of teenagers together to try and learn, you know, sort of how to develop and stuff, communicate to that kind of thing. So that's not a word, but it is now. But yeah, I think it's aimed at them, especially through the use of that facilitator's book. So, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I think that pretty much wraps the show this week.
Yes.
Those Kickstarters are all so relevant and good to each other. I don't know what I'm trying to say. I like, not one of them is standing out beyond the other one for me because they're all pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody got a favorite?
If you had to twist my arm, it would be the Puzzle Lock one, just because I'm really curious about some 3D print stuff in the near future for myself.
Oh yes, it is pretty good, Jerry.
I would probably go for the Lizard Men, so I could use them in my Salamanders. At which point, then I'd have to pick up the TH Miniatures jungle terrain, otherwise I wouldn't have any terrain for my Salamanders.
Oh, Ben?
I think while I would love to go for the Puzzle Lock one, because I already own enough role-playing games, I clearly don't own enough role-playing games. So I think I'd just pick up the Critical Core thing just to have it as part of my collection. I think it'd be quite nice. So yeah, very cool.
Oh, everyone's lumped for something. I'm going to have to pick something.
Mm.
I think I'm going to go with the Puzzle Lock.
Oh.
I think the caverns are just really cool.
Yeah.
And that fact that you can pretty much just take miniatures you've got and just chuck them in.
Yeah, yeah.
Because although the salamanders and all look amazing, do I need more miniatures that I need to paint right now?
Yeah.
I always need more miniatures than I need to paint. I can't handle it anymore.
You have to paint the terrain, but here's the great thing. You can do it with a 3-inch brush.
Yes, exactly. The great thing about painting terrain is you're not like this. You're more like this. Ah!
You've been watching my tips on how to paint stone.
That's it. We would just take Jerry's tips, which we're going to talk about tomorrow a bit more.
Just splatter it all over the inside of those cavern walls and everything.
That's it.
Yep.
We should get that stuff and have Jerry just splatter it.
Splatter it.
Hey, I'll print it. You can paint it.
Right. I think that wraps the show. But before we go, remember to get your comments in to win Shadow Spear.
Mm-hmm.
Like the video. Subscribe to the channel. Ding our dong. And let us know which of the two factions that you're most interested in. Do you like the Demonkin or do you like the Vanguard?
We are the Space Marines.
The Space Marines.
Do you like the Spiky Chaos or the unspiky chaos.
Yeah. Do you like the ones who are going to jump out of a ring at you, or the ones that are going to land in a spaceship?
Well, I've already made my choice. I'm happy with this.
Right, so yeah, get your comments in below, like the video, subscribe to the channel, ding our dong, and if you want to know did you win last week's competition, come on over to our prize claim center. Visit On Tabletop, there'll be stuff on screen to tell you what to do. Make a free account, and then you can browse this wonderful page showing all these lucky gets who have won in the past. And if your name's there, you're a lucky get too! Right, that's it. We're done. We're wrapped. We'll see you tomorrow on the XLBS show.
Go ahead and check out our other content on screen now, and be sure to check out beastsofwar.com for the latest gaming news and gaming let's plays. And while you're at it, why not hit subscribe, and remember to ding our dong. Go on, you know you want to click it. Go on.